type of questions that I've got for you to think about this morning. But I guess if there was a time that you can remember when somebody sort of in your conversation with them, or perhaps in your effort to try and help them understand some of what you believe, you found yourself thinking, what could I do that would give God the glory? What could God do, perhaps, that would show this person that they really are, that God really is who I claim God to be? And there might be some quite dramatic kind of answers that come to mind for you. It might be, well, perhaps if there was a dramatic answer to prayer, perhaps that might show God's glory. Or perhaps even some kind of remarkable miracle, maybe that would give God the glory. And yet as we read and hear read this part of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Paul says, let us give glory to God. He is able to make you stand firm in your faith. How does that sound? It's not quite as dramatic, is it? But the capacity to stand firm in our faith is one of those things that gives God incredible glory. The strange thing is that people often look for other signs and other things that are perhaps more dramatic than that. When I lived and worked in the Mansfield, Mount Gravatt area, we would often drive past on a Friday night, set up at the Mount Gravatt showground, a tent, and on it said the Tent of Miracles. Now, I have to confess, I never went in. Maybe I didn't think I needed a miracle, maybe not, but it was one of those things that I thought, really, a little bit, that was just me. I do know other people for whom a visit to that place was foundational for their understanding and their faith. That was where they came to understand who God was. So God moves in different ways for different ones of us. But I think one of the important things that we're hearing Paul say to us today is just being able to stand firm in our faith, to remain faithful, to declare that Christ is Lord, is one of those incredible things that gives God glory. That helps people recognize who God is. And there are all sorts of times when things erode or want to erode our faith. And so when you think about it, that capacity to stand firm is a remarkable witness within itself. The capacity to maintain your faith and to continue to declare it. I visited a young woman during the week who was awaiting a very serious operation. And as we talked together, she said to me that earlier in the year she had found herself drifting away from God in their relationship together. But that through this last month or 6 weeks, as this time had come upon her, she had found herself knowing God's closeness more than ever before. Isn't that a powerful statement? So encouraging to know that when others might be wondering, you know, why God, or looking for someone to blame, that this person found themselves actually rediscovering their closeness with God instead. So when we think about that idea that standing firm in our faith brings God glory, then we look perhaps at this story of Mary a little bit differently. When we hear this story, this is where the other question comes. If I or someone else was to come up to you and say something, you know, maybe put, when we're allowed to, put our hand on your shoulder or something like that and say, you know you're one of my favourite people, don't you? Because you're so generous and uniquely gifted. Your answer is going to be, what do you want? Exactly. What do you want? Because it is that kind of thing. Now, I had an older brother that used to get in all sorts of trouble and rub all sorts of people the wrong way. And the first time they asked me, are you John Smale's little brother? I said, yes, and I got belted. So I learned after that, whenever anyone said, are you John Smale's brother, that the question with the proper response was, why? Now, that hadn't happened for 45 years until the other morning I was standing on the tee at golf ready to hit off. And someone said, are you John Smale's brother? And I said, why? And then he started a conversation. Oh, he was a member here, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, different John Smale, not his brother. So So it was one of those funny things that I hadn't answered that question for a long time, but the answer was still the same. But these ideas, when people come and, you know, perhaps are a little bit gushing in their introduction to us, we do start to think, what do you want? You're about to ask me a favour or whatever. I sent a message to someone that I hadn't connected with for probably a year or 18 months on Wednesday, sent them a text. Well, we tried to ring them actually, and they were very bright. I got a response from them on automated by their phone that said, I'm driving, I'll call you back when I get back or when I arrive. So I sent a text that said, just calling to say good day, but I do have to say that I also am going to ask you a favour. I thought I should put that in there. And when they rang back, they said, so glad you texted, because I have a favour to ask of you as well. So we swapped favours. It was okay. But the angel comes to Mary and says, peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you. And what we read in the response is probably Mary's version of, what do you want? Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message and wondered what his words meant. What do you want? What's happening to me? Out of the blue, an angel appears, tells me I'm greatly blessed. What is going to happen next? It's a very human response. It's probably the same response that we would make. The other thing that we hear as we hear the angels appear and as we hear the stories across the coming week in connection with the nativity and the shepherds and all those kind of things, remember that the key thing that we hear often that the angel says, and it says it in today's, is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God recognises, I believe, that when God breaks into our existence in unexpected ways, that we are likely to be fearful. That we're likely to find that strange, different, confronting. That we're going to be wondering what's going to happen. And often the words that come with these appearances are, do not be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. All those times, perhaps, when you go to help someone who is struggling and fearful and they look at you wondering if you're there to help or to hurt, and you perhaps find yourself saying, it's okay. I'm here to help. It's okay. Those reassuring words that come. So the angel announces that she has been greatly blessed. We don't even need to imagine. The reading tells us that she is deeply troubled and wonders what the angel is trying to say. The thing that paves the way for Mary to deal, though, with this most unexpected of surprises is that she is not the only one. Because as she tries to manage to comprehend the news that she's been given about the fact that she's going to become a mother and how can this be and all those kind of questions that she asks, the angel then reminds her, remember your relative Elizabeth. And then once again, a little bit unkindly perhaps, you know, the really old one. She's about to have a child too. She's 6 months pregnant. There is nothing that God cannot do, is the instruction that comes from the angel to her. And in that moment, the response is, I am the Lord's servant. I will do as God directs. I will faithfully follow God's leading. I will be obedient in this moment, no matter how awkward or how difficult it might be. If standing firm in our faith is what glorifies God and what helps God to be seen and known, recognised, understood, then, folks, it's really important for us that our faith is not based on just the nativity story. The nativity story doesn't take us very far. Our faith is not made firm by some lovely but sort of gooey and sentimental idea about the birth of a child. Our faith is made firm in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith is made firm because we know of what Christ did for us. Our faith is made firm because we understand that Christ calls us into God's family because of the incredible gift of his life. John 3:16 reminds us, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. Many of you here have sons. Not saying that daughters aren't important, but in terms of connecting with the writing here. In fact, the application is identical. But I'm keen to wonder, when you read that verse, God loved the world so much, and if you want to make it more inclusive, happy for you to do so in this context, that he gave his only child. I'm interested to know, how many of you read that differently after the birth of your first child? When you read it for the first time, after the birth of your first child, did you read it the same way? Did it sit the same way? Or did it sit somehow differently? Did you begin to understand differently the sacrifice that God makes in allowing Christ's life to be given for yours and mine? I know that for me, the very first time that I looked at that passage again after our son was born, our first child, I found myself thinking, oh my goodness, I don't think I would raise life for someone else. How much is it that God loves me, that God allows that to happen? How much is it that Jesus loves me, that Jesus is prepared to do that, not just for me, but for all lives, for all time? This is the transformational power of Jesus Christ. This is the truth that helps us hold firm in our faith. This is the understanding on which we can plant both feet strongly and firmly and know that we are incredibly loved by God, seen as uniquely precious, as are all lives. Wonderful, marvelous lives, loved by God, drawn into the love of Christ and the joy of God's family. Folks, I encourage you that as you engage with people in connection with this Christmas time and the stories that you might have the opportunities to share with people, and perhaps the little questions that might come from younger lives or perhaps even older ones who've never thought of them before, to consider that as you share with them about such things, that you stretch, as we will in our Christmas services, the link to join the birth of Jesus to all that Christ does for us in the giving of his life and being raised to life, so that we can share our life's journey with the God who creates us. Amen.